Good morning.
Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Justin. So what exactly is involved in the process of fecal microbiota transplant or so-called poo transplants?
Okay, so, I mean, a fecal microbiome transplant, it's not a new thing, right? It's been around for a long time. In fact, Sydney, you guys have got one of the guys who's done quite a lot of this, a guy called Thomas Barodi. But what happens here is that what you do is you take a fecal material from a donor, and then you give that to a recipient. So it's pretty simple. You know, you pass material, you collect it in a way that you know is pretty safe. You process it and then you give it to a recipient. The idea is that when you transfer that, you transfer the organisms that are present in the gut or you know of the donor. You transfer those into the recipient, and when you do that, those organisms then can populate the recipient, and hopefully, if the microbiome is actually associated with the development of the disease or some of the symptoms that the disease that the recipient has, then this actually helps to alleviate those symptoms, maybe help to cure the disorder. Seems to work for some things. Other things now, there are a lot of clinical trials going on to try and work out whether it works for a large number of different disorders.
And what kind of disorders are we looking at?
Oh, there's a huge number of things that people are looking at. So people, currently it's used as a very, very, very good treatment for C. difficile, so for a form of recurrent diarrhea, antibiotic-resistant diarrhea that some people get, which is caused by an overgrowth of an organism called Clostridium difficile. In that, you have a very, very high cure rate, over 90%, and it happens very, very quickly, within a couple of hours, which is amazing. But there are other disorders that people are trying this for. So obviously there's inflammatory bowel disorders, Crohn's disease. There are some people trialing it with respect to mood disorders and also with respect to, you know, helping to treat some people that have melanoma. It seems to be quite a big jump to understand that one, but they're taking basically the fecal material from people who respond to particular melanoma treatments and they're putting that in people who had previously not responded to the melanoma treatment. And they're looking to see if, in fact, that changes the way they respond to the drug treatment that they're getting. And, in fact, there are some really promising sorts of results about that.
Wow, that sounds like such an interesting way to work it.
Yeah.
You were saying before that it's not a new thing. How long has fecal transplants been around for?
Oh, so the first one's documented, I think, in about the 4th century, China. Yeah, and so they did it way back then.
Pretty long time ago.
Yeah, but from the medical field, the first sort of documented record that I'm aware of is in 1958, I think it was, where it was used for C. difficile. And since then, it's become slowly moved through. It's been quite a slow process, right? Because we used to think about the bacteria as being an us and them situation where they were there, they caused infection and things. I think was largely what's happened. But over the last sort of 15 years or 20 years or so, there's been a real shift in the way we think about this, and it's now... along with technological changes, which are allowing us now to shift the way we think about this, and we understand more that the microbes are really a part of us. We're a walking ecosystem. And because we're this walking ecosystem, the microbes, they sort of mediate our interaction with our environment, with what you eat, with what you drink, with what you're exposed to. And so because of that, they're really a part of you, and they help you respond, basically, to your environment.
Well, how does it compare to traditional medication?
Oh, so this is a form of basically, I mean, you can think of this as traditional medication. You mean sort of the standard Western
drugs, our traditional methods.
Yeah, so Western drug treatments and things, I mean, it's different, right? This is a form of bacteria therapy. At the moment, it's a very, very crude therapy because you're taking fecal material and you're processing it. And then you're donating that to an individual, and how you deliver it and everything is you know, obviously you don't just drink it. So it's quite a different type of therapy. There are risks associated with it. It's something that needs to be done very carefully. You have to screen very, very carefully, screen the donors, make sure you're looking, obviously, for pathogens and things. So there's a lot of things that have to be done very carefully about this. So it's not a standard treatment at the moment, and I think one of the things the field is moving towards and is going towards very rapidly is isolating the actual causative agents that are causing the change in the recipients that are helping to actually fix the clinical problem that the recipients have, the disease they have, or the conditions they have, and basically looking at ways to do that so that they can be produced en masse or in a much more controlled manner than simply getting them from fecal material.
What kind of risks are we looking at?
The risks? Oh, so I mean, with any, you know, treatment, there obviously there are risks associated, but we still don't have a full understanding of how the microbiome interacts with the host. And there are a lot of organisms there. There are more organisms than we can actually identify still, depending on which way you're looking at it. And so, you know, there's a lot of risks. There's risk of transferring something, an infectious agent or something like that. I mean, they're pretty standard sort of risk.
Just lastly, what exactly makes someone a good candidate for a microbiota donation?
What makes someone a good candidate? Basically, you know, that's a very good question. And it's not as simple as looking at somebody and saying that they're just a healthy person, they're fit, they're lean, you know, generally healthy. We don't know what make good super donors for different conditions. But generally what we sort of think, and, you know, it's found out at the moment using a clinical trial, basically. We test whether or not someone can resolve a condition. But there are some general trends. So the general trends are really about the complexity of the bacteria that are present in their biome. Perhaps it's also about the complexity of the bacteriophages that are present and some of the products that they make. So these things like short-chain fatty acids, which are particular bacterial products which can then pass to the host and impact on the host metabolism. So there's a number of things like that, but it's not just down to the donor, right? There's also characteristics of the recipient, and there may be this interaction between the donor and recipient, which is very important for understanding how and why some of these treatments work and why, you know, and why some of them don't.
Right. Well, it'll be really interesting to see how it gets adopted, and maybe it might become a mainstream. Do you think it'll become a mainstream treatment eventually?
There are over 270 randomized clinical trials going on in the US at the moment that are doing fecal microbiome transfers. So it's a pretty hot area of work. I think for C. difficile treatment, it's a very important treatment for that form of diarrhea. I think that over time, aspects of what we learn from doing these trials will become part of regular medicine. Whether or not it's using a fecal microbiome, I'm not sure. In the US and in Australia as well, I think there are centres where you can get donations of fecal material for the purpose of a trial or of a transfer like this.
Right. Well, it'd be really interesting to see where the research ends up at. Justin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. It's been great talking to you.